goddamn door!
Oh, for God's sake, what is it, Jim?
The Afterlife podcast employs dark humor and frank language. It is intended for a mature audience. You are listening to the Afterlife Podcast. Thank you for joining me for episode 10, Floor Seat Hater. I know you're like, what is a floor seat hater? A floor seat hater is someone that likes to hate from behind, home bench, like a friend, someone who pretends to be a friend, someone who calls themselves your friend, but is really hating on you. But they like to be right up underneath you. They like to be close by. They like to be in with you, in the game. And then silently, or to other people behind your back, they are talking shit. They're the floor seat hater, that friend who congratulates you, but secretly they're waiting to see you fall on your face. That's the floor seat hater. They like to have the closest seats possible to hate on you from. Anyway, here we go. Episode 10 of Afterlife. Karen watched Richard, her used-to-be friend, rub the bottoms of her shoes back and forth across her carpet. Like a bull, Karen thought. Toro! Toro! Karen sighed, tilted her head to the side, and pulled at her chin, wondering why the fuck Richard was here in her living room. They hadn't talked about it, but Karen assumed that Richard knew that they were no longer friends. It seemed to go without saying by the way Richard had behaved when they'd been together last. Karen thought they told each other goodbye for good, basically. A clean, respectful break was something that required self-discipline. The way to cauterize oneself after a breakup, friendship, business, or romantic, was with soft introspection, appreciation for whatever had been the positive things about the relationship with a focus on remembering the good feeling things about the experience, and, perhaps most importantly, space away from the other party. For someone whose identity is heavily based on attention from others, self-appreciation, and therefore a sense of self-worth independent of circumstances, is a perspective that must be practiced to fully understand. But typical Richard, a glutton for punishment, was dead set on abusing or being abused. Karen figured Richard had come by to either apologize, which meant that she wanted something, or to pick a fight. Karen was in the mood for neither. She had no more time for backbiting bitches in her life. Nothing, Karen lied. Now, are you going to tell me what you came here for, or are you just going to stand around polishing the bottoms of your shoes on my white carpet? Richard sat down on the arm of a club chair and tucked her feet to the side, crossing them at the ankle. Actually, she started, smacking her lips matter-of-factly, I have something to say. Finally. What is it? Karen replied, more of a statement than a question. Somebody told me that you told them that we're not friends. Karen drank the rest of her champagne in one gulp. She looked Richard dead in the face. Well? We're not friends. I don't know what the fuck else you expect me to say. How many people have you told that to? Karen gave Richard a dry look. Does it matter? You don't seem to be taking this very seriously. That's because I'm not, Karen returned, more amused than offended. If I were you, I would, Richard chided. And if I were you, snapped Karen, as she returned to the bar cart for more champagne, I'm sure I would do a lot of things. The first thing she'd fucking do was to go to the fucking gym and toss out all that garbage food Richard was always eating. It didn't make any fucking sense. Richard could afford so much better. With all the dough she had, she could look like a rock star. But instead, she was ruining her body with food. It made Karen sad.
I just don't think I like you telling people things about me, quipped Richard.
Karen rolled her eyes.
So, being the real woman that I am, I came over here to give you a chance to explain yourself. You're going to tell me what you said about me, and I want to see if you'll say all the same things they said you said, and I'll know if you leave anything out. Get the fuck out of here,
spat Karen. Her voice was unexpectedly loud. The force of it made Richard, who had never heard Karen raise her voice in all their years of friendship, and who prided herself on being tough, flinch. Karen saw it. A tiny victory. But a victory is a victory. Karen smiled on the inside. Richard was stoic. Having regained some of her cool, she replied with an aloof,
I'm not going anywhere.
Karen curled her upper lip in distaste. This was going to call for some vodka. In the short freezer behind the bar, there were 3 bottles of Ultimate Vodka left over from a party. Or maybe she'd bought them just in case. Well, this was definitely a case.
If you're headed on to Saatchi's house, then take your Lohmann's discount bag and go, Karen gesticulated with her fingers outstretched, shaking them in the air. Make like a tree and leave!
Karen flew across the room with the open bottle of champagne. She dipped down behind the bar and came up with a clear plastic cup.
Take one for the road, Karen hollered as she filled the plastic party cup with champagne. You'll be thirsty on your pilgrimage if you don't have something to drink.
Oh, wait, you're already thirsty. Richard's eyebrows leapt into her hairline. Karen shoved the plastic party cup into Richard's chest. Richard looked stunned, but she took the champagne.
So go, finished Karen. I am so done with your bullshit. Some fucking bottom-feeding bitch comes around asking nosy questions and reporting back to you her renditions of what I said on a topic that is none of her goddamn business. And instead of looking at her and questioning her motives and telling you something that could only hurt your feelings, you show up here, unannounced, and stand in my living room, drinking my champagne, making demands. You don't give a damn about my friendship. You're just here because you want something. You know it, and I know it. So fucking save it with the I'm hurt and offended face. If you were really a real fucking woman, you wouldn't feel the need to use the gossipy ramblings of some sycophantic little sidewinder as an excuse to be here. I am a real fucking woman. I'm a ride or die bitch, hollered Richard,
glad that the conversation had finally escalated to a level of drama she herself could appreciate. Karen shook her head. No. Typical Richard, melodramatic and petty, without hope or desire for a cure, passing over the opportunity for an authentic conversation to quibble over some he said, she said.
I'm not using it as an excuse. I do want to know,
wailed Richard, someplace between a moan and a whine, moving her legs around, her 2 tight jeans turning her legs into plump sausages stuffed to just below bursting.
If we aren't going to be friends anymore, you could at least tell me why.
Karen supposed this was fair. She considered how much of her truth she was willing to share. Richard appeared genuinely upset. Karen had a choice to make. She could either be a hard-nosed bitch or give Richard yet another chance. How many chances would this make? There just didn't seem to be any getting away from her. After a few years, Richard would pop up again like they hadn't fallen out, as if nothing had happened, just like all the times she'd done it before. But in the past, Richard hadn't really done anything wrong. Richard's poor behavior at the restaurant, however, was a red flag that Karen knew shouldn't be ignored. Regardless of the circumstances surrounding a person's mood, it was unacceptable behavior, and it hadn't been a spontaneous, one-time, off-color comment. It had been a full assault over the course of a 3-course meal. Flagrant disrespect is a sign of further abuse on the horizon. The main reason Karen had decided to throw in the towel is because Richard was pathologically inconsistent. After dinner, once her audience had left, Richard was back to making casual conversation with Karen again, as if the disrespect at dinner never happened. Even putting the dinner diss aside, Richard wasn't to be trusted. Karen had seen Richard tell at least 100 lies to various people over the years. Karen hadn't ever caught Richard in a lie herself, but Karen rarely gave Richard the opportunity to pull the wool over her eyes. She didn't rely upon Richard for information, and so usually kept free of the sticky webs she'd seen other people get tangled up in. Nothing Richard said about anything could really be counted on, since she even told lies about things that didn't seem to matter to anyone, like where she'd bought a sweater, or what she'd had for dinner the night before, or whether or not she'd already eaten lunch. Richard was constantly leading people on, thinking she was being clever. Karen didn't need to wait for the other shoe to drop to run for cover. Karen had seen Richard let people create elaborate plans around her availability, make heavy financial investments, even spend non-recoupable money with zero intention of doing whatever Richard had agreed they would do when they made the plans. Whether it was something simple, like plans for dinner, or a weekend away someplace fun, it was always a last-minute story full of dramatics about some important reason Richard couldn't make it. And some of those nights, Karen knew, Richard had just sat watching reality television at home. So how, then, could Karen trust Richard? What made Karen different to Richard than any of the other suckers Richard liked to lead on? Nothing. Despite her potential to be more, Richard chose to be a fraud. But it was Richard's life and Richard's prerogative. It wasn't in Karen's nature to point out character flaws in other people. She had better things to do. Anyway, from her own experience with other used-to-be friends, Karen knew that unless people had an urgent inspiration to do it, avoiding financial repercussions, being locked up in prison, or a motivational intervention like an old-school beatdown, con artists rarely change their habits. The path of least resistance for Karen was to simply not be around Richard, not to get Richard to see things her way. But now here the stubborn goat was, asking Karen for the truth. For the past year, Karen had been enjoying enviable personal success. She hadn't made any announcements about it, but anyone who knew her could see that her life had undergone a dramatic change. She appeared on magazine covers and Good Morning America, NPR, and was even on the Final Level podcast and Howard Stern. Every time Karen saw her own face on a cover or heard her name mentioned in pop news, she felt energized, knowing that all the misguided people who'd pissed on her, dissed her, and left her frustrated would see her name there too. As far as closure was concerned, she let that be enough. There were a number of toxic people Karen had stopped associating herself with. It had been a harbinger of her success. Richard's name was at the top of the list of perfidious player haters Karen had mentally broken ties with. Karen's rise in status was impossible to miss, a jagged pill to swallow for someone who needed others to be down on their luck to feel better about herself, as was the case for Richard, a floor seat hater. Not content to hate from the sidelines, from what Karen had seen, Richard was most comfortable hating from behind the home bench. Vindictive people make dangerous friends. Karen considered which version of the truth would be the most beneficial. The whole truth? A half-truth? The plain truth? Or half the truth? It's nothing personal. We've grown apart, that's all. A half-truth. I feel safer the further you are away from me. The plain truth. You have shown me yourself I'd be an idiot to trust you. You don't even like yourself. How can you feel any better about me? You're circling the drain. You don't deserve me. You are so self-absorbed, arrogant, materialistic, and petty. The whole truth. Not even half the truth seemed like a good idea, unless Karen wanted a debate. She didn't. What Karen wanted was for Richard to get out of her house and to never come back. What was it going to take to get this bitch to leave? Karen tilted her head and pulled at her chin, postulating. Richard had obviously come because she wanted something. But Karen had already asked Richard what she wanted, and that was the answer, right there. Attention. Richard had come to soak up some attention, and negative attention was better than no attention at all. Well, Karen was done with her charity work for the day. What is it going to take for me to get you to leave? Asked Karen. She was done fucking around with this broad. I want you to do me a favor. Richard shook some life back into her weave, reminding Karen of a dog in the throes of a sweet spot, scratching with its hind paw at its ear, trying to get a flea. Karen's eyes morphed into slits. There was no end to the gall of this woman.
What?
I need to go over to Saatchi's. Karen put one hand on her hip. She spoke softly. Well then, go there. Since he's your rapper boo man thing, I don't know why you're still standing here talking to me. I've asked you to leave 3 times. I want you to come with me to Saatchi's house.
Richard stood staring at Karen, waiting for an answer.
Not interested, said Karen.
I'll donate $5,000 to your charity.
Karen looked at Richard sideways. You'd have to make a transfer right here, right now, before I change my clothes or go anyplace. And I have to get confirmation.
Richard sucked on her teeth.
You got Apple Pay?
You've been listening to the Afterlife Podcast. Thank you for joining me for episode 10, Floor Seat Hater. The Afterlife Podcast is serialized paranormal fiction based on the book Afterlife, written by me, Maximilian Defoe. Available on Amazon. Next week on the Afterlife Podcast, Karen and Richard crash a famous hip-hop mogul's private house party. An iconic rapper gives an impromptu concert, conversation in which the problems of hip-hop are examined and the solutions explained. This week's episode features music from Otis McDonald. You're listening to Rich Man in the Sky. For more episodes of the Afterlife Podcast, visit TarynMaximilianDefoe.com/ForeverAfterlife, where you can not only find episodes that you may have missed, but links to the Afterlife boards on Pinterest, featuring additional material, videos and images of Karen's bachelorette pad, what's inside Cassandra's closet, Jimmy's house, the best macaroni and cheese recipes, and other goodies. I'm serious about the mac and cheese recipes, by the way. Follow me and say hello on Twitter. You can find me at MaxximilianIan. It's the same for Pinterest and Patreon. Links to every place you can find me are in the description of every episode. I would love to hear from you. This podcasting thing can feel like a lonely business. Thank you so much for listening. Rich man in the sky.